Hello, hello. What's going on, fellow connoisseurs? Welcome to the Cannabis Man Podcast. I am your host and the creator of this, Don Kleppen. Thank you so much for clicking on the show. I have a lot to talk with you about today. This is a show, if it's your first time, where we're taking a journalistic look at all things cannabis. As legal cannabis is changing all around the United States and the world, whether you're a medical patient or just somebody who is looking to try recreational cannabis, or maybe you've never tried it and your state just went legal, or the country you live in just went legal. There's a lot changing every day around cannabis, and I'm here to answer your questions and help this normalization journey along as best I can. Be sure to follow the show on social media at C-Man Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. It's the Cannabis Man Podcast Facebook page and YouTube channel. However you're listening to this, if it is YouTube or another podcast platform like Spotify, Apple, iHeart, however you like to listen to podcasts, there is a function for you to rate or review the show you're listening to, and I would really appreciate it if you could leave a rating or a review for the Cannabis Man Podcast. You can also become a subscriber through Buzzsprout by scrolling down and clicking the Support the Show link in the description notes. That'll take you to a Buzzsprout page that will allow you to become a subscriber, and if you do, you'll get a thank you email from me and a shout out in the next episode. I have a few news stories that I'd like to discuss with you this week, as well as some other topics that have been brought to my attention, which I really appreciate. I love when everybody engages with the show, which you can do anytime on social media or email host@cannabismanpodcast.com. Some other people have reached out through my website, donkleppen.com. You can feel free to do that as well. Either way, I love any questions you might have or any thoughts you might have relating to cannabis or the show or, heck, anything else going on in your life. Go ahead and shoot it to me. I really appreciate everybody who's listening and following along with what this show's become. And with that, let's open up this episode of the Cannabis Man Podcast. Hit it.
This is Tommy Chong, and you're listening to the Cannabis Podcast.
Oh, yeah. Man, that puts me in the mood every time. I hope wherever you are, whenever you might be listening to this, I hope you're able to take a moment for yourself and just chill out, whether that's lighting up the joint in your hand, maybe taking a little stroll through nature, just getting outside some fresh air, allow yourself a break from the hustle and grind of the day-to-day. Just sit back and enjoy yourself and take in some of the positive. And remember, we are witnessing history right now, witnessing these changes that are going to ripple long into the future. I mean, we're at this point right now where the cannabis prohibition is ending. Might be slowly, slower than I think a lot of us would prefer, but it is ending. And there's going to come a day after this where cannabis is just a normal part of all of our lives, at least, and the lives of our children. They'll be born into a world where cannabis is just normal and regular the way that we've done for other substances. And that really brings me joy. It's something I find very exciting, and I hope you do too. On that topic, there's a big news story that just came out today when I'm recording this, which is March 28th of 2024. This is from our friends at Marijuana Moment, which is a publication that I have brought up many times on the show. I highly encourage you to subscribe to their newsletter, support them through Patreon, however you like to give your support. I encourage it for this. But this headline reads, DEA officials discuss marijuana scheduling timeline, seek to, quote, correct misperceptions that decisions are made in a shroud of secrecy. That is the full headline from our friend Kyle Yeager at Marijuana Moment. I'll read a little bit of the article and then share it in the description notes. As I always encourage you to do, go ahead and read the full thing for yourself. There's a lot of great information in here, but this is a topic I've brought up a lot on the show recently, ever since the DEA was recommended by President Biden's administration and the Health and Human Services Secretary to reschedule cannabis down from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3. We have been waiting. The only thing that we'd heard from them over the last 6 months was that basically, they are the ones in full control over, you know, which substances are scheduled where under the Controlled Substances Act. And this first announcement we've had on this really doesn't give, unfortunately, much more clarity on the issue. However, they do want to correct misperceptions, they say, they being the DEA, that its drug scheduling review process is done in a, quote, shroud of secrecy as it works to reach a final decision on possibly reclassifying marijuana. The DEA official also said it sometimes takes up to 6 months for DEA to complete its analysis of health officials' recommendations, which, by the way, it has just about been that long since the agency began its current cannabis assessment. Since October, when it received that last recommendation from HHS, it's been 6 months. So they admit that it can take this long to review their analysis. That means that we should be getting an announcement any day now. This announcement came in the latest episode of the agency's Prevention Profiles Take 5 series, coming from DEA Senior Prevention Program Manager Rich Lucy, and spoke with a DEA pharmacologist about the scheduling process, specifically how it relates to the ongoing cannabis review, marking the first time officials with the agency have discussed its current analysis of marijuana's Schedule 1 status publicly in any depth. There are clips from this podcast, which is on YouTube, and they're included in this Marijuana Moment article.
Can we talk about the elephant in the room? We're going to just use it as a real-life example, okay. And we're not getting into any like specific details or anything, but let's talk about marijuana. Cannabis.
It's kind of lengthy, but it is important because, again, this is the first time the DEA has ever done anything publicly relating to its review of cannabis. The pharmacologist says right now it's a wait and see. HHS has done their part. Now DEA is doing its part, which is that eight-factor analysis. And she says that can take anywhere from 3 to 6 months sometimes. Again, I would point out it has been 6 months since they got their recommendation. And as I've brought up on the show and has been in the news lately, there is significant pressure here to complete this work expeditiously. Let's get it going, DEA. Vice President Kamala Harris recently adding her voice to that and urging the DEA to finalize its cannabis review as quickly as possible. President Biden bringing up cannabis during the State of the Union this year. The motivation, the momentum for legalizing or rescheduling cannabis, whatever you want to call it, it is reaching a fever pitch, and we're in an election year. This is a major issue. It really feels to me, and maybe you feel differently, feel free to reach out to me if you disagree, but I feel that this election in 2024, the election for President of the United States, I feel like cannabis is becoming maybe a central issue of this election. Now, certainly the economy and immigration, crime, you know, if you want to put that out there, those are three that are going to be the big three. The inflation, the cost of food and housing right now, it's crazy. We all know it's crazy. I talk about it every day with my poor wife. It's ridiculous at that level. Okay, so that's going to be a big issue. Immigration and the southern border. That obviously is a big issue too, because we have migrants being bussed around the country from Texas, and there's no federal immigration policy. The president can't just do something through executive order. This is something that needs to be addressed. Those are big two. Those are definitely two that are going to determine who the next president is. But it feels to me like cannabis is swiftly becoming maybe the third issue that could dictate how people vote in this election. If President Biden comes out and says, hey, if the DEA finishes its review and President Biden says, hey, guess what? If I'm still in office come December, I will sign this. I will reschedule cannabis. This is going to happen. That feels to me like it could be the kind of thing that sways where people stand on this. And based on a recent poll, this says at the end of this Marijuana Moment article, President Joe Biden's cannabis moves stand to benefit him in the election. A survey found the president's favorability spiked after people were made aware of the possibility that marijuana could be rescheduled under the Biden-initiated review. It's also the kind of thing that the longer this doesn't get done, it's possible that the other side can try and make it their own. And I say the other side, I mean Republicans. They can make this an issue too. The other side being the side that is not currently in the Oval Office. The longer that this doesn't happen, the Republican candidate can make a case that, hey, if I get into that office, I will make this change. And so either way, it does feel like things are trending in the direction of the American people desperately wanting legal cannabis And this issue could finally be reaching a fever pitch right in a presidential election year. Very exciting stuff, very important. As I said, I'm going to share this article in the description notes like I always do, and I do encourage you to check it out for yourself, listen to that DEA podcast if you like, and hear for yourself what the DEA said about this. And speaking of that momentum, speaking of the desire of most Americans to see cannabis legalized, or certainly at the very least rescheduled, there is a new article, a new poll that just found a big boost to the number of U.S. adults who say that they want a rescheduling or legal medical or recreational cannabis. This is from our friends at MarijuanaHerald.com. I've spoken about that publication before. I like it. I'm sharing this article in the description notes as well if you want to follow along here, but the headline reads, a Pew poll finds 88% of U.S. adults support legalizing medical and or recreational marijuana. The article goes on, nearly 6 in 10 Americans, 57%, say marijuana should be legal for medical and recreational purposes, while roughly a third, 32%, say that marijuana should be legal for medical use only. Just 11% of Americans say that the drug should not be legal at all, according to Pew. 11% only. That is where that 88% comes from in the headline. While a majority of Americans continue to say marijuana should be legal, there are varying views about the impacts of recreational legalization. About half of Americans say that legalizing the recreational use of cannabis is good for local economies. Just 17% think it's bad. 29% say it has no impact. I think that that has to have been proven false by now. The people who are saying it has no impact economically are just living under a rock, I would imagine, because as I told you in a recent episode, the global cannabis market was currently valued at over $30 billion. There are some that put it at $43 billion and is projected to grow in the next 10 years by tenfold. So we're talking about, yes, potentially $400 billion. Dollars globally in the next 10 years for cannabis. So people who are arguing that it has no economic impact, I'm sorry, you're just not paying attention. But that's not even really the point, because that is still a minority of most Americans. 88% is where we are at now in terms of U.S. adults supporting legal cannabis, whether for medical or recreational use. That is stunning. Stunning. I know that for a lot of us, you know, you might think it's 100%, and it might be. 100% of the people you know may be on board with this. But I just want you to imagine America is a place of almost 400 million people. We have something like 375 or 380 million people in this country. You know how different the states are based on their politics, based on their laws, based on how things are in this country. If you live in America, you know that the states are very different places. Politically, think of how we do elections. A majority of political support is considered at 55%. If you have 5% more than half of the country, that is often considered a political majority. When we talk about elections for the president, how close are the margins? Look at the last election. You're talking about tenths of a percent. So for an issue to have 88% support from Americans is just about unheard of. And as I've talked about on the show before, you can go back, listen to episodes, and you'll hear me say this over the last 2 years. When I started this, I think these polls were showing something like 68, 65%. That was already a massive majority. Now we're at 88%. And if the DEA keeps dragging its feet here, we may get to 100% eventually. And then what does that look like when 100% of this country is clamoring for something that one body of, you know, biased individuals, and I say biased because, as I talked about on a recent episode, and if you didn't hear me say this, go back and listen, you'll hear me say, it goes against the self-interest of the DEA to reschedule cannabis. That is why I believe they're dragging their feet on this. That is why, despite this recent podcast that they put on YouTube, trying to say, hey, this isn't really done in a shroud of secrecy. Actually, yes, it is. This is the only time you've brought it up 6 months after it was recommended to you by another government body, and when the president himself ordered you to do this. 6 months go by and you put out a little podcast saying, hey, we're not keeping this secret. You're keeping it secret and you're dragging your feet. you yourself put a 6-month timeline of this on as the maximum, as the ceiling, and it's already been over 6 months since this order has come down. The DEA is dragging its feet, and I believe this is going to continue. But either way, that's why I ask this question. How high is this approval rating going to get? How high is this number, this percentage of Americans who want to see this change made? How high will this get before the DEA does anything about it? I would be willing to put money down that it'll get past 90%. I would be willing to bet on that. But anyway, that's my thoughts on it. That's the remainder of the article that I'm going to share. They go further into the partisan differences on the impact of recreational use of cannabis. They go into Republican percentages who say they want changes, Democratic, and then by age within both parties. And so there are some very interesting specifics that are worth checking out. Go ahead and scroll down and click on that and read that article from MarijuanaHerald.com. Some more news on this front just broke earlier today. The Florida Supreme Court is going to allow marijuana legalization initiative to appear on the ballot in November. So this is a recreational ballot initiative coming in November to Florida. So we may have another state added to the ranks of recreational cannabis being legalized there, and this could be Florida. Now, I was really proud of Florida when they legalized it medically, because there are many senior citizens that obviously live in Florida, and I'm sure many of them can benefit from the quality of life improvements that cannabis can offer people. But to see now that that governor, that that state is considering legalizing recreational cannabis, this is wonderful. I did not expect a state like Florida to be jumping into this party so soon. And I think it just shows, again, like what we're talking about, the momentum here, the feelings of the American people are getting to their elected representatives, and they're getting to Congress in Washington, D.C. And this issue that Americans desperately want to see resolved, the cries are getting louder. The torches are lit. The stomps of the crowds are being heard all the way in D.C., and I just love it. Keep it up. As I've said before on previous episodes, pay attention to what your elected representatives are doing or what they're not doing. And if you agree or disagree with their stance on cannabis, let them know. If they're not calling the DEA to make this thing get done, make sure that they're aware of this feet dragging. Make sure that they're doing their part so that every representative of every state hears that this is what we all want. That's the prerogative. If you're an American, whoever's there is elected to represent you and your voice. And if you're feeling like it's not being heard, email, phone call. There's a great internet search engine called Google, or whichever you prefer. If it's Bing, if it's Firefox, whatever. Use your internet, find the contact information for your elected representative, and call or email their office. Let them know how you're feeling and what they're doing that's either good or bad related to legal cannabis. Another noteworthy item that I thought I would bring to your attention this week, listener: cannabis cultivator fees have been waived in New York until 2026. This is a High Times article, and it goes on to say, 3 years after adult use cannabis was signed legally in New York, the Cannabis Control Board is addressing the needs of struggling farmers. The New York State Cannabis Control Board recently voted to waive cultivator licensing fees for the next 2 years. Governor Kathy Hochul celebrating the recent progress to help struggling cultivators. She says, farmers are the backbone of our state, and we're making sure the family farms across New York that are building our cannabis industry have a real chance to succeed. End quote. On the same day, the CCB also approved 114 new cannabis business licenses, 45 for retail dispensaries and 31 for micro businesses, which allows the grantee to grow, process, and sell cannabis. The state currently has 89 licensed dispensaries currently operating and hundreds more licenses that have been granted, with 223 approved this year already. Additionally, the CCB approved 38 non-conditional adult use licenses as well. So until 2026, cultivators will no longer have to pay for the fee that is applied when they transition to a non-conditional license, such as cultivation or micro-business licenses. Conditional license fees range anywhere between $4,500 to $40,000, and the price is based on their license, tier, size, and canopy size. This is according to a press release published by Governor Hochul's office. So $4,500 to $40,000 you could save if you apply for a cultivator license between now and 2026. 2026. So if you are in New York and you've been considering getting a cultivator license, now may be the appropriate time. Go ahead and save yourself $4,500 to $40,000 if you feel like maybe you haven't been able to afford to get into this game. Now is the time. I wanted to tell you that. And finally, before I let you go this week, listener, I wanted to tell you something fun that I saw. An article came up that was trying to dissect the 10 most popular cannabis strains across the United States. Now, you, I'm sure, have your favorite hits. I have mine. Any of us who have been cannabis users since the pre-legalization days, since the Wild West, when it was only a black market during the full prohibition, I certainly got whatever my dealer would give me. I'm sure that you maybe had some of those experiences as well. So I think a lot of us have our preferred strains. I have always loved Jack Herrera. I talk on the show all the time about how I love sativas. I think of Blue Dream for myself. Whenever I think of the best strains that I always used to ask my dealers for, Strawberry Cough was one of the ones I fell in love with early, along with Headband. That was one that I loved the way that it felt around my head. I remember the dealer explaining to me that it sort of constricted. You felt like your brain, not get squeezed unpleasantly, but you felt a little bit of a tightness around your brain. So it was kind of, that was the sort of sensation you felt in your head, and that's where the name Headband came from. And I remember feeling that and just thinking, wow, this is so great. What great branding by whoever made this strain. And so I decided I wanted to go through this article, which is another one from the Marijuana Herald, and I will share this in the description notes as well. But I'm scrolling down now. I have not read this, and I find it very interesting that the top of the list right here of the 10 most popular strains of marijuana across the country is Blue Dream, in fact. Sativa Dominant Hybrid, crossing blueberry with haze. Leafly says it produces a balanced high with effects like cerebral stimulation and full body relaxation. Always love Blue Dream for that. Next on the list, Sour Diesel. Of course, Sour D or Sour D's. That has been popular for many years, crossing Chem Dog and Super Skunk. Its effects are dreamy, cerebral, fast-acting, and energizing. Next on the list, Girl Scout Cookies. Just had some of those yesterday. Not the actual cannabis strain, but some actual Girl Scout cookies. They were here in the Illinois Center where I work, and I saw the table, and I walked by them once getting my lunch, and I did not make it back across that table the second time returning to the office without buying three boxes. I went with the Samoas, the Tagalongs, and the Thin Mints because those are the three classics for me. But Girl Scout Cookie GSC Indica Dominant Hybrid, cross between OG Kush and their intermediate strain called F1 Durban. Popular effects include euphoria, waves of full body relaxation, famous for its pungent dessert-like aroma. Next on the list, Green Crack. I remember this, of course, as well. Many times the dealer would show up with Green Crack. I love this one because of how potent a sativa it always is. I remember using Green Crack while I was in college, and when I would do some late night, you know, cram sessions doing a project that I'd waited 3 months for, right until the deadline, procrastinating like I always did, Green Crack was a major help for me when I would pull those all-nighters. I would go and get Red Bull. I'd go and get like some other energy drink, some snacks when I knew I'd be up all night, and I would usually make sure to have some Green Crack on hand. It's also called Green Kush, apparently, and Mango Crack, potent sativa crossing Skunk Number 1 with an unknown indica, interestingly enough, according again to Marijuana Herald. Next on the list, OG Kush. Of course, everybody knows OG Kush. If you've ever tried cannabis at all in your life, there's a pretty good chance that there was some OG Kush in the room at the time. Sprinting through the rest of the list here, Granddaddy Perp, GG4, Jack Herrera, which I mentioned, White Widow, also a classic, Pineapple Express, which ever since that movie with Seth Rogen and James Franco, I love Pineapple Express just because of the name and the funny moments that that makes me think of. I don't even really care, honestly, about the flavor profile and whatever. Usually if I see that at a dispensary and there's a deal, I'll go for it. That's the end of the list with an honorable mention going to Runtz, R-U-N-T-Z. I'm a fan of Runtz, especially of the tropical variety, and so I thought there's a lot of classics on that list. Maybe you feel like they missed one. Maybe you have had a classic on your top 10 that they missed there. Go ahead and share if they missed it, or if you have your own top 10 that you want to contribute to the show. Go ahead and hit me at C-Man Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, or the Cannabis Man Podcast Facebook page, or you can just send it to the email host@cannabismanpodcast.com. But top 10, what are your top 10 classic cannabis flavors? Or if there's just one that you know is in your top 10 that was not on that list, let me know and I'll go ahead and read those out in future episodes. But that's all the time I've got this week, listener. I really appreciate you joining the show. Be sure to follow the show on social media, like I just mentioned. You can find it at all those channels on YouTube or Facebook as well. It's the Cannabis Man Podcast Facebook page. And become a subscriber. Scroll down, hit the support the show link, go to Buzzsprout and subscribe to the show. You'll get a thank you email from me as well as your name shouted out in the next episode, because I love my supporters and I really couldn't do this without you. I'll be back again next week with another interview and some perspective and news stories related to legal cannabis. If you want to know what I'm up to in the meantime, you can follow me at dkleppin, K-L-E-P-P-I-N, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook as well. Go to my website, donkleppin.com. If you know anybody who needs voiceover services like narration, if they have a YouTube channel, a podcast, anybody who needs a voice, point them in my direction. Donkleppin.com has my demos. Really appreciate everyone who's reached out in the meantime, whether it's related to the podcast or just kind of supporting what I'm doing personally. I really can't thank you enough. You have no idea how much it means to me. And I'm just doing this by myself. So when anybody gives me kind of an attaboy or a pat on the back, it really means a lot. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk again next week on the Cannabis Man Podcast. Bye-bye. Cannabis Man is 100% originally crafted by myself, Don Kleppin. Original theme music written and composed by Yusu Kim, a.k.a. Goodson.